Thank you very much, Scott. So today I would like to talk about some of the work which we do in ICARD on conventional breeding for drought tolerance, and would like to supplement with some of the QTL approach we are interested in. So the outline of my talk would be chickpea and a little bit how it in relation to droughts. As you know, drought is a very complex trait. And then what we do at the present is a conventional breeders, and then what could be the molecular approaches we are trying to target for the future if we can. Okay, a little bit about the chickpea. So there are normally two types of chickpea. One is the daisy type, which is small angular seed with a range of color. And this is mainly grown in subcontinents, which is India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, that part of the world. But and the other one is a Kabuli one, which is large rounded seed, yellow in color. And that is mainly in the Mediterranean environments and also in North America. So in the ideal condition, the best yields are achieved with the high the seasonal rainfall. So that would be, for the daisy would be more than 300 millimeters, and Kabuli would be around 400 to 60 millimeter rainfall area. So this is the ideal moisture or the rainfall requirement for the crops. Production temperatures range from 21 to 29 a day and 15 to 21, and the fertilization is, as a rule of thumb, if you have the night and day average above 15, the fertilization is successful, lower will go to not have a good seed setting. What the drought, as I said, although the range of the moisture is 400, and I will talk mostly about the Kabuli type chickpea, which we are focusing at ICARD on that type. So you can see over here some of the drought's impacts on these crops, and sometimes lead to really the destruction or devastation of the whole crops, which happen in Iran, in some of Kurdistan region, and also so. In nowadays, what we do screening is not really going to achieve the is under the rainfall area, which we target 400 and above. So most of the places grown under very low rainfall area. So the idea is to the conventional methodology, which I will talk about it. And as a conventional breeder, you're always looking if you can increase your efficiency of selection, and you can get some of the new tools to apply those in your breeding program. So that is the whole idea of having some of the work, molecule work to supplement the conventional breeding. So as I say, drought is a very complex and different definition for different people. But what we as a breeder target, the ability of genotype within a species to be relatively more productive than the other under a limited water deficit condition. So what we do as a empirical way of doing it, we straight go for select for the genotype which are yielding high under the moisture stress. So it could be different. The genotype could survive very well under the moisture stress condition, but that does not mean, as you ask a farmer, he will say, okay, I need something yield from a particular variety rather than survival mechanism. So what we focus on, we mainly focus on yield under the stress. So the direct selection for yield under the stress condition. So what we do usually for the phenotypic screening, which we do in the Mediterranean environment, most of the rainfall come in the cropping season, which is, say, from the November till finishing to end of February and March. So what we normally do in our screening, so we have three moisture gradients. We have one of the center, which is ICARD main research center, say, long-term average rainfall is 330 millimeters. We are having another site which has 250 millimeter rainfall, and then we have another third site, which is in Lebanon, near the border, which have 450 millimeters. So that provides us a range of different moisture gradients to check to test the material against them. So what we do normally, as I said, in the Mediterranean environments, you get the rainfall in the season. So we plant for the drought screening very late in the season. The normal planting is done early in January. What we plant the crops in March, which is very, by then, only the moisture which is from the rainfall receding left in the soil. So that's the normal way we do. And then you see what some of these slides, we go and select for the one which is highly yielding, when I said the highly pouring under the stress condition. So sometimes you can see some of the genotype, they stay green under the drought conditions. So now the idea is we confounding drought with the heat, because it's a terminal drought, it's a terminal heat, because the temperature is going drastically up. As you go from March, April, May, June, the temperature is going high, and at the same time the moisture is getting, because you are not getting any rain in the summer in the Mediterranean environment. So mainly the rainfall is finishing as you go toward the July. So that's what we go, and then you can see over here, this is the one type of genotype which we look, which can give you a good yield. So then, if you are having a 4,000 or 5,000 lines, the work we want target that one to supplement with a molecular approach, which I will talk in a moment. But what we do at the moment, so this, before I go to that one, as I explained, we have three gradients of moisture. So we are selecting for the genotype which are good under the drought, moisture stress condition, but at the same time they are good response to the water, because farmers do not get drought each year. So if the optimum conditions prevail, then the genotype should respond to the moisture availability. If you can see here, this R0 represents R1, R2, the rain fit, and then 50% irrigation, 100% irrigation. So you can see the response of the genotype. The material which we test against these three gradients, you select for those ones which were performing under the moisture stress, but equally they are doing when the moisture is available. So that's the whole idea, because we do not want to select the material which are good under the moisture, but if there is an optimum year, then you don't get the good yield from those genotypes. So this is just one of the examples, the products from this methodology all over the world we send the material. And this is one of the variety which was released in Turkey, collaboration with the Turkish NAS. It survived 2000 drought in Turkey, which at that time even wheat was devastated by the severe drought. But it survived the drought, severe drought condition in that year. So, so this leads us to the question what I explained in the previous phenotypic selection. So we say, well, let's to have a look what molecular tools we can apply, the same idea which we have to see, okay, the genomic region which expressed under the moisture stress condition. But we are equally interested in those ones which are also expressed under optimum condition. And then try to look at, is it drought, is it adaptation, is it expressed consistently, or is it stress response which we can get from the genotype. So some hypothesis developed to do some of the work to move onto our QTL mapping one. So we developed one of the population, a recombinant embryo population, which is derived from ILC-5883279, around 182 lines. ILC-5883278 is a very good under the moisture stress condition. ILC-3279, as I explained the methodology, when you plant it, it will stay green. It will not give you any parts, when one or two parts. So that's, and when especially when you test them under the late planting condition. So we are having one normal planting condition, and another is the late planting condition. So what we did with that population, which we derived from these two parents, we test them across around 10 environments across the 3 years, which has a combination of different moisture gradients plus the different planting time. Because the idea, one of the questions which is always also came up in this one, the confounding effect of flowering, which is a main component in the drought tolerance work. So in this one, we screened the population in one of our locations, is the main location, Talhadi, in 2008, 2009, and 2010, and we've late planting. 3 years we tested them, we plant them late in the season, which is a March planting. Then we took them to the also planting in the same time, but we provide the water to see water make any difference, to remove the water part of it. Then again in the evaluation in the next year, we planted in 2008, evaluation, irrigation, normal planting, in 2008, but in 2009, we plant them normal planting, but we provide them irrigation of water. Similarly, in rain-fed location, we have long-term 250 millimeter 2009 planting, 2002 year planting. Finally, we also took the population to very high rainfall area to see how the population responds, and the end when we want to do the QTL mapping, whether it will make any sense across different years, different environments. So what we did, as I say, yield is our main target. So in this, I will present only the main yield, and also we measure the yield and yield, the other components. But what I would like to say here, we developed one drought tolerance scale, which is 1 to 9 scale. As I said, if you have 5,000 lines in your field, as a breeder, you want to screen them. The idea of molecular marker, you would love to have a marker which can screen a large population. That's what we developed this scale to see. And this scale is another somehow correlate highly with the years, which is 70+% correlation. So we made the QTL mainly for the yield. Plus we also this scale, so which end up to be the same QTL region, as I say, is a visual observation. You go to the field and you score them, your line based on 1 to 9 scale. Okay, so this is just some of the distribution from this population. So if you look at the late planting grain yield, so you can see this is a population which is 272 millimeter. For the last five years, although the long-term average in those locations are 350 and 250 and 400, but we are not getting that rainfall. The rainfall is going down and down. And you can see here, this late planting in the whole season was 272 millimeters supplemented with irrigation. But keep in mind that this area is a long-term average is a 350, and we plant this one late in the March. By then, most of the moisture is receding. Most of the moisture gone down. So what we can observe here, despite this year, because this year the same field was hit by one of the soil-borne disease, Fusarium wilt. So we exclude those ones. But in most cases, you can see the transgressive segregation we observe in all of the location, most of the in year and one of you tested. And also ILC5, the very good expression you got from the drought was in 2008, which was a very, very moist drought test. 222 millimeter rainfall, which we got in that particular year, that was one of the year which the more stress, the more expression you got from your material. So this is from the late planting condition we tested around 4. If you move to now, if you look at the distribution, and you move to the normal planting condition, you can see, because now your planting is early in the season, so you are more using the water use efficiency which is becoming available in the rainfall. So in this case, you can see that the rainfall is 200, the same fall, but you can see the distribution. You are now getting the line, spreading the plot more towards the yielding side, which, as I said, the response is coming with the water. So you can see the crop is moving toward more to the higher year side. This is the highest rainfall area, which is that particular area have 300+ millimeter rainfall from that area. So you can see the line which give you. So this is the yield per plant I'm talking, because you plant the 4 meter row, but then you select to see really 3, 4, 5 plants from the each row to count the number of seed, yield per plant, yielding components for the measurement of yielding components. Okay, so very quickly about some of the environment which we test this material, and then we do some of the GYE analysis, and it turned out to be these are the drought late planting conditions. So more or less they are correlated one of our locations, which is mainly substation. But you can see this one is a little bit away from this, because this is purely drought. See, mean we provide some water in this condition. So it makes a sense that it's a little bit away, but the only location come up the same. This is another location which is again, it happened that even the breeder, which I say is a condition of 250 and 450 millimeter, they somehow clustered nearby correlated. So the water could be not one of the factors. There are many photosensitivity issue involved here, which make them as a more similar environment rather than only water is a limiting factor. When putting everything together, all year, all environment, late early planting, then you can see some of the clustering of some of one environment from the another. Just give us the information which we can extract from each environment, which in one case, breeder 250 was not much enough. I will move to the QTL analysis. We just finalized the data. We'll be doing some. So as I said, 2008 was the more dry year. So we can pick up some of the QTL, which was, and we're still in the chickpea, so it's not like a wheat and barley. You can talk about A, B, and D genomes, but it's mostly, we are still talking about the linkage group in some of the legumes crop. So you can see in this case, we picked up some of the genomic region. As I say, in the yield explains 18 to 10% variation. And as I, in the previous one, I see the transgressive segregation was there. So we can see some of, additive mean the increasing yield parent is the drought resistant 5-8, while 3279 is the one which is susceptible. So now this is the late planting relation of the QTL detection system with under the tree. But what we found was, although the marker changed, because we will be still now cleaning all this, doing further analysis on the data, but the genomic region in all of them, even under the control 2010, late planting with the water, the expression of coming from the same genomic region. And one of the markers, which is unlinked, couldn't go to any group at the present because we genotyped this population, 110 marker, SSR marker. Further, we will be saturating the MIPS. But at this time, this one is stand alone, but it turned out to be in each and every in every association show up with the yield in across many years. Then we move to the normal planting, so we still, I put a question mark because the low score is not very high. We can see this is you can call it a significant QTL, but you can see the one which you already observed in one location very dominant, give you 4 and 5 low score, but in the another one is going down. So you can still have to see, put a question mark on it, well, the expression of that QTL in particular environment. So that was again normal planting, but you could not detect anything in 2009 significant QTL for the planting in the rainfall condition in the Breda 2009, because also the rainfall in one year to another year is varied. So this now leads us to one of the questions, which is the phenology, that, as I said, early flowering. And this population, two parents are, okay, so I will know a little bit, go on fast track. So this population, if you look at here, so this was the flowering time, because always the flowering is coming with the yield. In this case, we are planting late. So it turned out to be the flowering time also one of the marker. One of the group is separate from the other one, but in one case, it turned out to be the same region which expressed in the yield was also showing effect with the flowering time phenology, though we got one which is separate from the one which we got for the other one. Now we are further doing some of the more analysis on this one, but in the conclusion, what I can say, a major yield-related QTL under the moisture stress in 2008, around 18% variation, on which we use the drought scale, is go up with a 20-24%. The same genomic region also expressed under the late planting moisture and irrigation condition. But under the normal planting, no significant QTL to yield are detected at any year or location. Major QTL for flowering time was detected in L-linkage group 3, where the contribution is unlinked TA113, which is coming up in each location, was an unlinked marker. The co-location of yield and flowering time was identified. However, linkage group 3 region only associated with the flowering. So we are expecting more some of the interaction. We will do some of the epistating interaction on these studies. So this is our future work. We want to see how this different interaction works. And the Talhadi and Wanam across here was grouped together rather inconsistently with the turbo. Thank you very much. I would like to thank some of our all chip improvement staff and GRDC for some of the grant, the work which we did. Thank you very much.
Because
you would expect it, because we, the normal methodology, we use plant late in the season. And the population we are using, the two parents, there is a difference when you plant them late, around 10 days difference in the flowering time. Well, if you plant them under normal condition, because the temperature is too low, so they catch up with each other. So the photo period is one of the factors plus the flowering time. So what we can see in this one, the flowering time hits the same region. So it could not be the year per se itself, but the flowering time contributing. But there's another QTL which was not with the yield, but only flowering time, which is also reported in another place. So what now we are looking to see further, to look at the same phenology group, and if we can pick up something from there, which can show us with the relation with the yield.
In your classification, you said for 79% good, 79, 80 to 89. What one may be said,
so the scale you are talking about on the scale. Yeah, so if you imagine like a 1 to 9 disease scale, if you want to read a rough score or anything, that scale 1 to 9, as I said, is correlated with the yield. So if you say 1, you see 90% flood spot setting. Because when you are as a breeder, go to the field, you have to 4,000 or 5,000 lines to screen. And you just walk by the plots and you have to see score them on that scale. So it's more like the hand scale when you use for any disease scoring, like 1 to 9 scale. But in this case, you are looking at the yield and the body setting of the line, which end up with running the correlation highly when you harvest the line and you compare that with the score, you end up with a highly 70 plus correlation in that case. So there, we did not look at the significant difference of, from say 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6. But,
have you changed, you talk about the rainfall and the amount of moisture, how about the temperature in these 2 to 3 years? Is there any...
It's a big fluctuation. Yeah, yeah, some fluctuation, some temperature, because last year we had the temperature shoot up very high in the flowering times, and it came down. In the cold, we usually get minus 12, say, for 50 days. Last year we had only 5 days. So the cold work which you do screen our nursery, the shock, 5 day shock can screen the material. So there's a lot of fluctuation going on in the temperature as well.